couple other things he didn't mention about Trunk or Treat that it's going to be awesome. We are doing raffles this year. We're giving away things, including a new bike. So people will be able to sign up for raffles and win dates to restaurants. Win a new bike. So that's exciting. Also, we're going to be passing out postcards to everybody, inviting them back to church. So it will be a postcard that's going to invite them one to a Christmas kids event. We're calling it Parents Time Out. Coming up first Sunday of December, where parents can bring their kids here, and we're going to be doing crafts and cookie decorating and all that kind of stuff for 2 hours while they go out and do whatever they want to do in 2 hours without their kids. And we get to bless them that way, another way to touch their lives. And also we're inviting them to our new message series that will start next week called Relationships Are Messy. Anybody's relationships messy? You don't want to admit it, I know. Right? So that's starting next week. Relationships are messy. So ways to do it, we're hoping that there's going to be a lot of people who come to Trunk or Treat tomorrow who will end up coming here. So when you see new faces, don't ignore them. That's all I'm saying. They come first. Be friendly to them. All right. The series we are doing right now, this is the second part of a two-part series, is called How to Be Rich. All right, not how to get rich, because I can't speak on that, but how to be rich. And last week, what we learned is that there is good news and bad news. The good news is that we already are rich. That's the starting point. We cannot be rich until we admit that we are rich. If we don't admit that we are rich, then we're going to spend all our time, all our effort trying to get rich instead of trying to learn how to be rich. Now, some of you are thinking, I'm not rich. You know, if you missed last week, you're thinking, "Who? I am not rich." Yes, you are. You are rich beyond imagination. Do you know that if you make $10,000 a year, you're richer than 95% of the world? If you make more than $32,000 a year, you make more than 99% of the world. You are rich. And that's good news because it gives us lots of opportunities. It gives us lots of choices. It means that last night you were able to go to bed in a warm, secure house, sleep on a nice, comfortable bed, get a good night of sleep. I hope you got a good night of sleep. Wake up and take a hot shower. Decide what you're going to have for breakfast. Decide what clothes you are going to wear this morning. Then you got in a car. Only 10% of the people in the world own cars. Some of you had to decide which car to use and drive here to church, maybe stopping at Starbucks on the way. You are rich. And that's good news because there's a lot of privileges that come with being rich. Then there's the bad news. The bad news is that you're rich. It's good news and bad news. Jesus said it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for you rich, me rich, for the rich to go to heaven. And a camel cannot go through the eye of a needle. I'll just put that out there. It's impossible. And Jesus says that's easier than us to go to heaven. Why? Because money becomes the number one competitor for our hearts. The more we have, the more we trust money instead of trusting God. We trust money to provide for us instead of needing God and trusting God, depending on God. There's more bad news. Chances are that if you're rich, you're a below average giver. This is going to sound crazy, but it's absolutely true. In fact, if you're someone who doesn't make much money, this is going to blow your mind. But the more people have, the smaller a percentage they give away. The average American gives 3.1% of their income away to charitable things. People who make $10,000 or less give 5.2% of their income away, 66% more. The poorer you are, the poorer people are, the more generous they are. And this has been true for decades. They've been tracking this for decades. It has always remained true. The more you have, the smaller percentage of your income you give. Now, in the midst of all the bad news, I do have some good news. The good news is that you are above average shoppers. Some of you have the spiritual gift of shopping. Some of you are experts at finding a bargain, finding a sale. 10% off is not even going to get you out of bed in the morning. That doesn't even get you started. No, you know how to save money. You know how to find deals. You know you're so good at going to sales and spending and saving money that you go broke saving money. Some of you are so good at this, you not only spend all you have, you spend a little bit more. You excel at spending. And that's not how to be rich. That's how to be selfish. Jesus called money deceitful. You trust money to provide for your happiness. You trust money to provide for your security. You trust money to provide you peace. But only God can provide those things. We allow money to deceive us, and money takes God's place. So money has the power to destroy us by destroying our trust in God. That's the bad news. Money has the power to destroy us by destroying our trust in God. However, in that passage where Jesus said it's harder for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich person to go to heaven, he also said all things are possible with God. So while money has the power to destroy us, money also has the power to transform us. We can honor God with our riches. We can serve God with our riches. We can love God with our riches. What we need to understand is that God uses money as a tool to build his character into us. Money can destroy us, but if we know how to be rich, know how to use money in ways that honor God and bless others, then money suddenly has this power to transform us, to build God's character in us, if we use it according to God's instructions. So what is God's character like? This character that God wants to develop in us. So I have a bunch in your bulletins there, in your outlines, I have a bunch of verses I want to share with you, the kind of just the all verses that talk about God's character. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, "But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth." I want you to remember that verse. That's an important one. Because we often think, I earned this money. It's my money. I worked hard for it. I earned it. We forget that God gives us the ability to earn that money. Gives us the ability to produce wealth. Ecclesiastes 2:26. To the man who pleases him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. But to the sinner, he gives the task of gathering and storing up wealth to hand it over to the one who pleases God. James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Acts 14:17. Yet God has not left himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their season. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your heart with joy. Now I'm just going to pile it on. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Romans 8:32, he who did not spare his son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Do you see anything in common in those verses? Any word that keeps getting repeated over and over? Any characteristic of God that keeps showing up? God is giving. God's character, God's nature is giving, rich, generous giving. And God, through his character, through his giving, is showing us how to be rich. Now what I want to show you is why God makes us rich and how God's character can grow in us through that. 2 Corinthians 9:11 says, "You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God." I want you to imagine this. Imagine that you become so generous that when people see you, they come up to you and they say, "I thank God for you. I thank God for you because you're not like a lot of rich. You're not stuck up and arrogant and you think it's all about you. No, you care. You share. I've experienced God through you. I've learned about God through you. I've learned that God is real through your generosity. So when I pray, I thank God for you because you're making such a difference. Would it not be just incredible to have someone say that about you? God has made us rich in every way so that we can be generous on every occasion. And through your generosity, it will result in thanksgiving to God. God's made us rich so we can give more. And as you give more, you're going to experience more of His giving presence in your life. And that experience is going to transform you and build His character in you. That's how to be rich in ways that honor God and bless others and bless you. So let me drive home the lesson. The lesson is this: I am rich because I have more, I will give more. And we give until it hurts. Problem is, it starts to hurt about the moment we reach for our wallets. It's like, oh, sprained my arm. Can't quite make it. Sprained my arm. So we never give much because by nature, we are selfish. And we're tempted to trust into our stack of money more than we trust God. We are tempted to trust in our stack of money to provide us with happiness and security. So if we do not feel happy, if we do not feel secure, the way we think is, I must not have enough money. I must not have enough stuff. Because when I have enough money, enough stuff, then I'll feel happy, then I'll feel secure. It never works out that way. So we just keep grabbing for more. We just keep consuming and consuming. And if you're like me, as your income goes up, your lifestyle goes up. Do you know what I mean? So when you get a raise, when you get a bonus, you get a nicer car. You get something new for your house, or maybe you get a nicer house. Maybe you get a bigger house because you need a bigger house for your bigger TV that you just got. As your income goes up, your lifestyle goes up. Our attitude is, since I've got more, I can go get more. We tend to think that more is all for us. And that's not how to be rich. That's how to be selfish. We need God to transform us from our stingy, selfish nature to His rich, giving nature. We need to do that so that we are making a difference in people's lives rather than just making a pile of cash, so that people will come and say, I thank God for you because you're making a difference in my life thanks to your generosity. So how do we break money's power to destroy us? How do we use money as a tool to transform us? Here it is. You ready? We do it by becoming intentional givers. Intentional givers, not leftover givers. We stop being leftover givers and we start becoming intentional. And we can do this. You know why? Because we're already intentional consumers. Give you an example. By the way, my family is over here. You haven't met my family yet, but this is my wife, Linda, my sons, Jeremy and Nathan. I'm not going to make them stand up because they'll kill me later. But you can say hi to them afterwards. But when my sons were much smaller than they are now, younger, they both wanted computers. I did not have the money to get them computers. I said, if you want computers, that's great. You're going to have to save your money to buy a computer. So what did they do? They were intentional. They schemed to save money for a computer. They went to Grandma and Grandpa. Do you have any jobs I can do to make money? Right? And they said, for birthdays, we just want cash so they could save their money. They collected cans and bottles and took it to the recyclers. They found old video games that they don't play anymore, and they went and sold them and collected money until they both had enough money to buy computers. They schemed to purchase what they wanted. We all do this. We are intentional about our spending. We scheme for spending. If I could cut here, if I could pick up a side job, if I could refinance there, when I get this tax refund, then I can get this thingy, whatever that thing might be. We're intentional about our spending. That's normal. All of us do that. What's rare is to see someone who schemes to give. If I could cut here, if I could downsize there, if I didn't buy that thingy. Wow, this is exciting. Look at what I could give. Right? How rare is that? To scheme so that you can save up enough to give to things that you want to give to us. Most of us don't do that. which suggests that most of us don't believe the Bible, where it says it's more blessed to give than to receive. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give. That's being intentional about your giving. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. I once had a guy in my church who came up to me and told me he was going to stop giving until he could do it cheerfully. And I explained to him that is not quite exactly what that verse means. The verse means you don't stop until you're cheerful. The verse means you start becoming cheerful. And that's developed. That doesn't come naturally. Naturally, we're selfish. But as we become intentional givers, we start becoming cheerful givers. Here's how it works. When you're intentional, you no longer see yourself as having to give. Now you want to give. Now you see it as an opportunity to give. I get to give. When you're intentional, you begin to see that you have an opportunity to make a difference. And you see your giving as an investment to making a difference. And you're invested in whatever you give to. And when you see that your giving is making a difference through whatever organization that is, you get excited about that. You get fired up about that. You see you're making a difference. You get cheerful. And so when they ask you for more money, it's not offensive to you. You're not upset about that. You're glad to give what you can because you're excited about what's going on. You're a cheerful giver because you become intentional. You become invested. You see the difference it makes, and it gets you so, so excited. So how do we do this? How do we become intentional givers? I want to share three tips with you, all right? Three tips for becoming intentional givers. First one is this. We intentionally return to God what belongs to God. Remember that verse? God gives us the ability to earn wealth. We forget that it all belongs to God, and God has given it all to us. Malachi 3:8 says this, God asks us, will you rob God? Now, I don't know about you, but if you were to list the stupidest criminals in the world, at the top of the list, the top of my list, is a person who tries to rob God, right? You've got to be dumber than a SpongeBob cartoon to try to rob God. No, I wouldn't rob God, but God goes on to say, but you do rob me. How? No. By holding back tithes. A tithe is a Hebrew word, means tenth. It's giving 10% of our income. God says when you hold back that tithe, when you don't give that tithe, you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, he says. Now, in this context, the storehouse refers to the storehouses in the temple, where people would bring their offerings and they would be stored in those storehouses. Today, it might refer to the local church. That's how I see it. That's how I interpret it. Not everybody does, but I see it as the local church. So my practice is my tithe, my 10%, goes right here to this church. And then when I want to give to other organizations, to other missionaries, things like that, that's above my 10%. That's how I practice it. But the important thing is not where it goes. The important thing is that giving to God, that 10%. Giving 10% to things that honor and serve God. We need to be intentional about returning to God what belongs to God. But let's be honest, that's hard, right? The more you have, the more difficult it becomes. If you have $10, $1, 10%, $1, $1 is not that much. I can give that. That doesn't even buy me a coffee. Now, if I have $1,000, 10% is $100, and oh, I could do a few things with $100. Now, if I have $10,000, 10% is $1,000, and I can think of a lot of things I want to do with $1,000. If I have $100,000, suddenly 10% is $10,000, and whoa, that's too much to give. Forgetting the fact that we still have $90,000. The person who had $10 only has $9 left. You still have $90,000. We focus on the wrong thing, what we're giving instead of what we still have. I know a pastor who had a guy come up to him once, true story, and he came up to him and he said, you know, Pastor, I've got a problem. I got a big problem. I make too much money to give 10%. 10% of what I make is just way, way too much to give. It's a crazy amount. And the pastor said, I understand. And this guy goes, whew, whew. And he puts his hand on the guy's shoulder and says, I'm going to pray for you that your income will drop to the point where 10% is not too much for you to give. We focus on the wrong thing. Not on what we have, but what we're being asked to give that already belongs to God. So why does God entrust questionable people with like us and expects us to use the money he gives us, use the 10% to serve his kingdom and make a difference? Why doesn't God just kind of cut out the middleman, right? Just kind of skip over us and just give directly to all these different causes. Just give us the 90% and not have us worry about it. The reason why is because God is using riches as a tool to transform us. He's using that 10% as a tool to transform us, as a tool for us to exercise faith, for a tool for us to show trust, a tool for us to honor and worship God by giving that 10%. And when we do that, we see God at work. We learn to trust God. Our faith grows. Our character changes. We become more like God's giving, generous character. Malachi 3:10 goes on to this. After he says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, God says, test me in this. See if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven, pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. This is the only place in the Bible where God ever says, test me. Use your money, he says. Use your tithe to learn to trust me, to learn that I am trustworthy, to learn that I am the one who provides, not your money. God uses the tithe to build our trust in him. Tithing's that tool, a test to strengthen our faith, our trustworthiness. We can learn that God is trustworthy. I can tell you as a person who's been tithing for a long time now, for many, many years now, that you are better off with the 90% than you'll ever be with the 10%. Well, with the 100%, I should say. A person who loves money isn't going to get that. A person who loves money, it's basic math. 90% is less than 100%. I'm going to have less. I will be able to do less. Person who loves money doesn't get that. But person who loves God and starts practice tithing, they're going to not only get it, but they're going to experience it. Experience the power of God working through that act of faith. So the first way to be intentional in our giving is to return to God what belongs to God. That's how to be rich in ways that honor God and bless others and bless us. Here's the second tip. Second tip is this: give now. Give now. 2 Chronicles 31:5. It says, the Israelites generously gave the first fruits of their grain, new wine, oil, and honey, and all that the fields produced. They brought a great amount, a tithe of everything. Now, first fruits is exactly what it sounds like. People brought the very first of what their crops produced, what their fields produced. They brought the first, not the last. And they brought the very best. Because this is an offering to God. And to give God leftovers, to give God defective products, is not a way to worship God. It's a way to insult God. So they brought their first fruits. They brought their best. How this applies today is that we give now. We don't give the leftovers. The first check we write after we get paid is our tithe check. We give the first of what we have, not the last of what we have. But Satan wants to mess all this up. Satan wants to destroy this relationship that we have with God. He wants to not have us be transformed. He wants to get in the way of that. He wants us to trust money more than trust God. So this is what Satan will tell us, what he'll whisper to us. Instead of give now, he'll say, give when. Give when. It's great that you want to give now, but now is not the time. It's the wrong time. You don't have enough. Give when you have your student loan paid off. Give when you have the car paid off. Give when you've got the house that you've always wanted. Give when you have enough. We never have enough. God says, give now. Give the first fruits. And what this teaches us, when we do that, what it teaches us is that we put God first in everything, including our money. What really kind of turned things around for me and really got me tithing is when I heard a pastor talk about how he learned about tithing. And he had heard a message about tithing and was driving home with his wife, and he this was before he became a pastor. He was a new Christian. He kind of looked at it and said, you know what? If I cannot trust God with my wallet, how could I ever say I'm trusting God with my life? Right? So when we give the first fruits, we are putting God first. Too often we're leftover givers, right? We sit down to pay the bills and we write the bill for the mortgage or the rent, the bill for the car, you know, there's kids and credit cards and miscellaneous stuff. We pay for it all off, and then it's like, oh yeah, at the end, oh yeah, yeah, God. Almost forgot about God. And there's only crumbs left. That's why the first check I write is my tithe check, to put God first. So if it gets down to only crumbs, something else gets shortchanged. Not God. When we give first, we move God to the front of our lives. When we give first, we reprioritize our life, our spending around God so that He comes first. And when God comes first, He transforms our life. It becomes life-changing. That's how to be rich in ways that honor God, bless others, and bless us. So intentional givers give what belongs to God. Intentional givers give now. And then third is to have a plan to give more. 2 Corinthians 8:7 says, but just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. We want to excel in giving. We want to be great givers. Just as our God is a great, generous giver. But to do that, we need to start planning. We need to start scheming to give more. All of us have a list in our mind of things we would get if we had more money, right? You know, if I had $1,000, I could list off at least five different things I want to spend that money on, that I need to spend that money on. Do you have a list of what you would give to if you had more? That's what I'm talking about. Have a plan to give more so that when you have more, you'll be able to give more. Intentional givers have a list. So when they have more, you know, I want to give to the church or maybe my favorite missionaries or to some or school, some other cause, but you have a list of where you would give it to. So when you get that raise, you'll give first and not give last. You'll give first rather than spend first. This is excelling at giving. This is how to be rich in ways that honor God. God has made us rich in every way so that we can be generous on every occasion. And when we follow God's instructions, we will excel at giving. And this becomes a tool that transforms our life, that God uses to build His character in us. So more and more we're becoming godly. More and more. And that's why I'm preaching this. That's why I'm sharing this. Not to get you to give more, but to get you to change more, to get you to be transformed. This is one of the tools, one of the ways God uses to transform you so that you'll experience more of God in your life and have the confidence that comes from it and the courage that comes from that, the peace, the joy that comes from that, so that you will begin to make a difference. You'll see God working through your life, blessing other people, and that will bless you. And people's lives will be changed because of your generosity. And they'll come up to you and they'll say, I thank God for you. That's why I'm doing this. Because I want to see the blessing in your life. I want to see the transformation, to see you experience God work in your life. So let's remember the lesson. I am rich because I have more, I will give more. I want us all to say that together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. I am rich because I have more, I will give more, and when you do that, it will transform your life. Let's pray. God, we want to thank you for the riches you entrust us with, for the ways you've blessed our life, for the things that we get to enjoy. They don't feel like luxuries to us, but to the rest of the world, they are. We thank you for all that, for our homes, our clothes, our beds, our food, our cars, the money we have to do all kinds of things. May we see this as a blessing. May we see it as a tool. May we use it to allow you to work in our lives. Help us to become more generous. Help us to become more cheerful. Help us to take the step of trusting you enough to tithe. And as we do so, may we discover more and more that you're the one who provides for us no matter what. You're the one who's there for us no matter what. You're the one who protects us. You're the one who blesses us. As we put you first, may we experience more and more of your presence in our life. Pray this in your name. Amen. In a moment, we're going to give our offering so you can prepare for that. And as the offering is passed, if you could just stand up then and continue to join us in worship. All right, don't forget tomorrow, trunk or treat. If you haven't signed up to help, talk to Peter right here. Because we need you still, all right? So it's who we want to be as a church, blessing this community. So this is a great opportunity. I hope you're able to join everybody. I will not, it's killing me, but I teach at William Jessup University. I have a class that starts tomorrow night, and I can't get out of it. I would if I could, because I really want to be there. But please, please come and be a part of it. See God at work. Be blessed by it. Next week, we start a new series on Relationships Are Messy. Look forward to that. Invite someone to come. Invite someone to be part of it. And as God leaves, God's not leaving. As you leave, may you leave with God and bless this community, just as the rain is blessing us right now. Thank you for being here today.